Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, the premier broadcaster in all of sports. Now, I know yesterday, the Brooklyn Nets, everybody loves each other on the Brooklyn Nets. Everybody loves each other. They had a big workout in
a
L.A.
Fest.
They did. Jeremy Lin got every player with the exception.
Around?
Technically, he is.
Jeremy Lin still plays basketball?
He does. He's the leader of the Nets.
He never plays.
He never plays, but he organized a workout with all of the players. They all showed up except, and I want to name the guys who didn't show up because they could all just go away. Jahlil Okafor wasn't there, and for some reason, Alan Crabb wasn't there. Ian, were you there? Did you get to broadcast the player-only workout?
No, apparently I'm not on that group text.
That's a shame.
That didn't work out for me, no.
You know what I'm upset about? I'm upset that the Jets open on Monday night, which means that Ian will not be doing that game because they'll be, you know, open against the Lions on Monday night. It's an ESPN game. So, I don't get to see you. I guess are you doing I play Miami, I think, the next week. You doing that Dolphin game the week after that?
No, you know what, Joe? Shockingly, I've not gotten my schedule yet for the NFL season. But I will say that I believe I will be doing that game on national radio for Westwood One. I think that's a very good possibility.
Nice. Okay, well, that doesn't help me because I'll be obviously watching it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to talk to the people.
I'm just saying. I mean, I told you there is a comfort, even though you did that Buffalo disaster, okay, back in.
I don't recall that at all.
Yeah, I know.
It erased from my mind.
Somehow these things I never forget. But anyway. Even though you did that game, there's a certain comfort level I have when you're doing the game.
You know, the crazy part about the Buffalo game is we talked to Ryan Fitzpatrick the day before in our production meeting.
Right.
And we asked
him,
do you have any additional insight playing in the stadium for all those years? He said, yeah, a little bit. He said, there's this one area in the stadium where the wind can get a hold of the ball. And, you know, I try to avoid that area. That was where the interception
is. That where you threw the pick?
Yeah,
great.
Left corner.
Oh, my God.
Of the stadium. And I'm thinking to myself, as this is happening.
You didn't mention that on the broadcast, did you?
I don't remember that. Yeah, I think at that point you had to prioritize, and the fact that their season was basically over became the priority in terms of the storylines. But, that actually happened with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Are you still going to be doing the games with Fouts?
Yeah, working with Dan Fouts, the Hall of Famer, the Beard. Excited. Evan Washburn, our sideline reporter. We got the whole crew back.
What's your schedule like right now? Because, you know, usually during the course of the NBA and the NFL
like
season,
every minute.
Well, what's going on now for you, Ian?
Yeah, today, I mean, specifically today,
yes.
I was on the treadmill
earlier
today. I'm going to go get some lunch, get some Jersey Mike's during my lunch hour.
Well done. Checks in the mail.
Let me see. 2 o'clock, I'm going to pick up dry cleaning.
Wow.
I heard that you're taking a nap with a My Pillow later as well.
There you go.
That's a 220.
Gotcha.
That's slotted at 220. And then I'm going to have a number of adult beverages on
the
day off.
All right, good.
You know,
Ian is so big now that he does that spot about NBA television. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You do. Like, this is brought to you by the NBA when I'm watching the games. There's Ian Eagle.
Oh,
there you are. Even that.
Disclaimer.
Even that.
That was the worst deal that's been made since the Louisiana Purchase.
Oh, really?
I had no idea that would be played on every NBA game.
Well, you must be getting some money from it.
Forever and ever.
You must be getting paid for that, though, right?
No. It was a one-time payment. It was like a throw-in on another voiceover. Like, hey, do you have a second to do this one? I'm like, yeah, no problem. And then, boom.
Wow.
Everywhere.
You clearly,
every single day.
You clearly have to have a talk with your agent. Clearly, you've got to have a conversation with him.
I think you're right, Evan. Yeah. That's an excellent
Now you're not
going to have that discussion.
You're not going to be doing any of the NBA now, right?
No, that's it.
That's it. Oh, my God.
The Cleveland-Toronto series was the end of it. I'm going to the French Open in a little less than 2 weeks for tennis.
Nice.
I'll be doing that the last 12
years. Yeah, he does
years.
Tennis, man. This guy's versatile.
Well, are you into tennis?
Yeah, I'm a tennis guy. I've been doing
it
for a while. I've retained no French. I've been there 12 years.
I see.
And all I can say
is Roland Garros?
No, I could say I'll have entrecote. please.
And what does that mean?
Steak. Yeah, it's steak.
Steak. Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Now you're doing. Now here's now as a guy who is not a tennis guy, but obviously I'm very much into golf now. Okay.
I mean, really?
Are you kidding me? I love it. I am all over the PGA Tour.
I heard the Tiger updates leading into the spot.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's disgusting how much I'm into it now. But with that said, I mean, no golf, right? No shot at any of that, right?
No, I did the Masters for 6 years, that Amen Corner Live.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and...
For CBS? I guess for Masters, obviously CBS.
Yeah, you live in people's homes. During the Masters, you don't stay at a hotel. They don't have the infrastructure
down
in Augusta to do that. So I think the last year that I was there, I believe I slept in a racing car bed in someone's home. And
it was a racing car? Like a real racing car?
Like a kid's
bed. Than a
I had that when I was a kid,
bed.
A
hey,
racing
you know what?
Car
It's better
bed.
Than a coffin, right? You know.
Yeah, I think I had the last draft pick in my house is what ended up happening.
I see.
And there might have been that moment where I said, yeah, maybe I don't need to do this anymore.
That's wow. awesome. That's sleeping in a racing car bed, man. That makes me think of when I was six. That's
boy,
fantastic.
Oh
you know, maybe I was biased all year because all year when Joe and I would talk about the NBA playoffs, obviously we didn't have to talk Nets or Knicks concerning that because we knew that. I was convinced that this Raptor team was different. I was convinced that the change of strategy that they had this year, they kind of reinvented the way they played, how deep their bench was. But maybe, just maybe, I was jaded by the fact that they destroy the Brooklyn Nets every time they look at them. Were you surprised about the no? Because Joe wasn't. I give him credit. He said all along, bro, this team, they're frauds. And he turned out to be right. You called that series. You surprised about what the Toronto Raptors did here?
Yeah, they had a completely new style in the regular season. They convinced DeRozan and Lowry that less is more, less minutes, less scoring, more reliant on their bench, the second unit and their depth. That was something that they decided in training camp, that they believed in these young guys, and they developed that bench. The fan base, though, still had a lot of angst. I did game one of that series. But because of their previous playoff failures, there still was a stressful feeling around the team of, here we go again. So despite the 59 wins, despite the number one seed, despite the home court advantage, I felt this sense of pressure around that city, and then it played out in the worst possible way. The big lead early, couldn't sustain it, couldn't make a shot, missed 15 of their last 17 shots in the fourth quarter. They go to overtime, they lose to LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Game two, they get smacked around. Game three, tight game, they lose on a buzzer beater. Game four, they get completely taken apart, and they limp into the offseason now thinking about the direction of their franchise. Chance that their head coach might get fired, chance that they break up DeRozan and Lowry. All of these questions have surfaced because they can't get over this hurdle. I don't know if it's just physical, part of it's mental. Obviously, LeBron James has done this to a lot of teams, but this one was such a clear issue for them that they may change who they are based on the fact they can't get the results that they're looking for.
Here's what I'm curious, and I asked Joe this question 3 days ago, and none of us know the answer. I'm curious if you do. Is this a LeBron thing, or is this a big game getting over the hump thing? And I ask that because if LeBron left, if LeBron went to the Western Conference and he's out of the conference, do you, if you're the Raptors, look at things differently and say, well, our issue is always LeBron and the Cavs. We can beat Boston. We can beat Philadelphia. Yep. Or is it the fact that they just have issues getting over the hump altogether?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case that Dwayne Casey is making to management right now. He still has time left on his deal. He's done an excellent job every season. This team has improved their win total, and it hits a crescendo this year with the 59 victories. That's the question they have to answer, if this is just a LeBron issue or if this is a deeper issue. A couple of years ago, they played the Indiana Pacers in the playoffs, and basically the loser of that game, the head coach, was going to lose his job. And it turned out that Toronto won the game. Dwayne Casey got himself an extension, and changes were made to the Pacers. Now, a couple of years later, the Pacers are a team that look like they're on the rise. They've had excellent moves. The Oladipo trade turned out to be the right one. They've made solid draft picks, and they've been able to sustain. The idea that you break up your team, you strip them down, and you start over, that's a tall order. Look at the Atlanta Hawks right now. They were the one seed just a couple of years ago. there's basically no one left from that squad. There's Dennis Schroeder, who was more of a backup on that team. They're changing GMs. They're changing head coaches. And they're going to be a lottery team for the next 2 or 3 years. That's not always the answer. I don't think Toronto's going to strip this thing down. I think they're going to look at it more with the first part of your question, which is they just couldn't get past LeBron James.
Talking to the great Ian Eagle. Speaking of LeBron James, I mean, the guy, we all know how great the guy is. But the level he is playing at right now, Ian, I mean, you know, you go back to the Toronto series, and obviously he hits the game winner in game three. You know, he hits that unbelievable shot, off the glass. I mean, unreal. But the game two, even though they killed him in game two, the Cavs, the shots he was making that night, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, he played all 82 games this year. I think he's playing the best basketball of his career.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, you agree with that. I mean, so with that said, I mean, can you see Boston beating them? And do you give them a real shot against, let's say, they play Golden State again in the finals?
Joe, you look at his numbers, and that's one thing. The numbers are off the charts.
Right. Right.
But the impact, the fingerprints that he has on every game, the way he can conserve energy, he is so smart out there on the court. If you try to break down that draft class, which was an outstanding draft class, we're going to look back on the 03 draft class and say, wow, that was one of the better top fives and drafts that we've seen over the last 20 plus years. This is 15th year in the league. All of the guys in that draft class are wrapping up their careers. They're either retired or about to be retired, or they're not living up to their contract like a Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
LeBron
right.
James is getting better.
Amazing.
He's ascending somehow at the age of 33. So, you know, you go into this series as a play-by-play guy, and you know that every superlative is probably going to be used in some way. Whether you're saying the guy's phenomenal, fantastic, he's brilliant, he's special, he's remarkable, he's exceptional, he's extraordinary. All of these words apply, and you use them at different times over the course of the game. I was blown away by how he performed in this series. I did the game where he hit the buzzer beater against Indiana.
Yep.
And
yep.
The second it left his fingertips, I thought it was going in.
Yeah.
That's the point he's at now in his career, where you're surprised where he doesn't make big shots.
And you go back to that Indiana game you're talking about. Remember, he turns the ball over late in that game. Then he comes back on the other end with a big block. I forget who the block was. It might have been Oladipo.
It was on Oladipo,
huge block, and he comes back and hits the game winner. I mean, just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And, you know, look, I got the net job in 1994. Michael Jordan was out of the NBA at that point. He comes back.
Right. Playing baseball.
Yeah, I ended up calling a bunch of those finals on the world feed. I'm huge in the Philippines, by the way.
No,
I can't walk
bro.
The streets of the Philippines.
North Korea, so, I heard Kim Jong-un, he's listening to you all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So doing those games, I thought to myself, all right, I'm never going to see this again. I was really fortunate to be a play-by-play guy in the 90s when Michael Jordan was at his dominant best, and I just have to accept no matter how many years I do this job, I'm just not going to see anything like this again. Well, we're seeing it again. I hate the comparisons. I get why. That's natural. We are wired to compare eras, to compare players. That's part of being a sports fan. I get it. But I've pulled back, at least now, just to watch this guy observe, to take it in. And it really does feel like history every time this guy takes the floor, that you're seeing something. And to see him in person is a whole different experience entirely. The guy is an Adonis.
Yeah,
Everything feels like a mismatch. Whoever he's playing against, it feels like an individual mismatch out on the court.
Well, let's get to how Brad Stevens can find a way to slow him down. What was impressive in this series against Philadelphia is what they did to stop or slow down Ben Simmons at times, including the one game where they held him to 1 point. Al Horford can defend anybody. Marcus Smart is just a pain in the ass. Aaron Baines, I thought, did a pretty good job in this series against Joel Embiid. What can Brad Stevens do to at least make LeBron James a little bit human in this series, or is it just impossible?
Well, the two things that stand out to me, similar to Indiana, they have versatile defenders. And the second part is they play with an edge. That's something Toronto did not do. They just don't have it. Of course, you love the grit of a Kyle Lowry, but he's 6 foot. He's 205. the guys that may have matched up with LeBron James, and OG Anunoby is someone that might have a very nice career, and CJ Miles has been in the league a long time, and we can go through the litany of players they tried to match up with LeBron. Boston has guys that play with a physical mentality. They're not going to be intimidated by the idea that they have to guard him. Look, they're not going to stop him per se, but I think it could be similar to the Indiana series that they at least can be a factor defensively against LeBron and make his life a bit more difficult. In addition, they are a fantastic defensive team. Their team's built on that end of the floor, and it feeds into their offense. Brad Stevens has pushed all the right buttons. He never allowed this team to bring the mentality that others had around the league, which was, okay, nice story, but you can't win without Irving and Hayward. There's a limit to what this team can do. They never bought into that, and I think a lot of that has to do with Brad and his coaching staff. They just never allowed that to be a narrative for this team.
Now, to me, I got a 2.5-year over-under on David Fizdale. Are you going over? Or are you going under? What are you doing?
No, I would go over. I think he's going to get some time to develop these guys. You know, the issues for them are roster related right now. They've got a bunch of players that are under contract, players that can opt in, and their flexibility could be very limited. Fizdale has a very good reputation with players. I think the question for him will be now in his second job, what did he learn from the Memphis situation? I believe, and this is a hard thing to say because it's such a fine line, I think coaches that develop over time realize that there has to be a separation, even if you're a quote-unquote player's coach. Steve Kerr is thought of as a player's coach, but Steve Kerr doesn't see himself as a player anymore. He had enough experience in the broadcast booth as a GM, and the years passed. There was a separation. For David Fizdale, that to me is going to be the biggest part of the evolution, separating himself. Even that little exchange with Marc Gasol that became public, which some thought, oh, wow, that's great. You're going toe-to-toe with your guy. No, that's not the goal, to go toe-to-toe with your best player. The goal is to find common ground. And I would hope now that Fizz walks away from that experience understanding that dynamic, especially with Kristaps Porzingis.
Talking Iron Eagle about the NBA, a little bit of everything. On the West Side, it feels like this has been inevitable for months and months and months. And I don't know, I just can't get the taste out of my mouth of watching James Harden in Game 7 last year. Paul was great down the stretch. I give him credit. He's finally in a conference finals. But it feels like it's inevitable for the Warriors. They looked so good at closing out the Pelicans. Steph Curry is healthy. I think Klay Thompson will have a better series shooting the basketball. You see any way the Rockets beat this team?
No, I feel the same way as you. And look, give Houston a lot of credit. I think they built a really strong team. Their style of play with the three ball is something that other teams are going to emulate around the league. And we see it a bit with the Nets as well. They're doing a lot more isolation than most teams are doing now in the league. The way Golden State plays with their ball movement, involving everybody on the floor, I think it's just too difficult to match up against for Houston. I would say 6 games would be the limit. The fact that Houston has home court, give them a win in one of these first two. They split the first two. I don't think Golden State loses on their home floor. I think this thing ends in 6.
I'm with you. I agree with that. 6-game series, we'll see.
All right. Now, I got to ask you about Sam Darnold. Now, obviously, I was happy with the pick. But you know me. I mean, how do I know this guy's going to be any good? I don't. I have no idea. No, I don't. I mean, none of us have any idea.
Of course. It's a mystery.
Right.
Complete mystery.
Right, right. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I thought he was the right pick. From the very beginning, that was the player that I thought the Jets were coveting. When McCagnon went to number 3, I don't know if he dreamed that it would go exactly as it went.
Right,
obviously,
right.
These guys have information that we're not privy to, and they have a sense of how things could work out, but it doesn't always go the way that you want. Everything did line up the way that he would have hoped for. I think most Jets fans probably feel the same way, that Darnold is the right pick. With that said,
right. Yep.
That's not an emotion that you're accustomed to as a Jets enthusiast, where everything goes your way. So now you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is, well, then it's not going to work out. I don't buy that. I think Darnold is the right guy. The play that I saw last year from him with USC, the action that I saw from him, I think there are correctable errors there that maybe became habits with USC, that you get him into a pro system, you get him with professional coaches, and you get him with the right people, and you do this as a process. He's not going to be the starter day one. I don't believe that for a moment.
No, I don't want him starting day one.
And I don't think he should. I'm with you on that.
Right, right.
I think the Jets will handle this the right way. But Joe, you know this. There's no plan B. There's no plan C. There's no plan D. This is plan A, B, C, and D. This guy has to be what they think he can be for this to develop the way that the Jets believe it can. And that's becoming a winning organization again, a consistently winning organization again.
Mm. I'm looking forward to hearing you say in a loud, exciting voice.
Wow.
Touchdown pass, Sam Darnold.
I got to figure you got to be doing it.
Sam, I am.
Right. He's got to do at least 3 or 4 Jet games this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got to figure at least 3 or 4. That you're going
to
be doing.
Have you talked to CBS executives?
No, if it was up to me, you'd do every game. If it was up to me, you would do every CBS game of the Jets. Every game they're on CBS, I would have Ian Eagle doing the game. If
that was like old school when you were growing up, when I was growing up, you basically had announcers that were assigned to teams or regions, and that is no longer the case. But that used to be the way that the networks would do it. Not anymore.
Yeah. No.
Ian, while you're on the air, we got a little Woj bomb. You want to react to some NBA news?
Uh-oh.
I'm ready.
We were kind of alluding to it, but now it's official. And when Woj says something, it's official. The Raptors will indeed fire Coach Dwayne Casey.
Wow.
You know, the vibe that I was getting, even preparing for that game four, look, there was an understanding that they were not going to win the series. No team has ever come back from 0-3. They're not beating LeBron 4 straight. We understood all that. But even for game four, the pride factor came into play. You wondered how the Raptors would respond to that. And I'm not saying it came down to one game and one game only. You know, that was a 30-point game. They didn't show up. It started late second quarter. It bridged into the third quarter, and then it just became a laughable game. But walking away from it, talking to some of the Raptors people at the end of that game, there was not a good feeling that Dwayne Casey was going to come back in that job. The guy might win Coach of the Year. He's already been voted Coach of the Year by his peers. He might win it from the media as well, and he will be out of the job that just led him to that award. That's pretty incredible.
You know, it makes me think of something, and Joe could tell me I'm wrong and shut up, and that's fine, but I remember when the Mets hired Mickey Callaway. A few weeks later, the Yankees fired Joe Girardi, and both of us were like, hey, man, maybe you should have waited a few weeks. Girardi's a really good manager. Dwayne Casey is 60 years old. I get that. I think he's a tremendous head coach. And I believe that if the Knicks waited a week, I would have told you, just as a basketball fan, you should hire Dwayne Casey. You feel that way at all, Joe?
Yeah, it's funny you say that.
It doesn't matter. I mean, they're not going
to
win anyway. It doesn't matter.
But I heard a rumor.
They could have Red Auerbach in his prime and they're not going to win.
I heard a rumor 2 weeks ago, if Casey was fired, that the Knicks would be interested in him.
So why didn't they win?
And I don't know. Obviously, they met with people that they were comfortable with. And, you know, I also think upper management, this is a fresh start for them. It's not someone that's been in their division. Maybe they just felt this was the way to go, or they were blown away by David Fizdale. But that was a rumor out there that Dwayne Casey could be a legitimate candidate for the Knicks job if he got let go.
What I like about Casey is that when he took over the Raptors, what feels like a long time ago, they were bad. So he was the head coach that bridged them being this bad basketball team into the team that, you know, I know they didn't win anything, but at least were consistently pretty good.
Right. 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years.
I think he's a really good head coach. And I just remember this with the Mets. It's like a flashback because no offense to Mickey Callaway, even though he can't put a lineup card together and he forgets what he did. Joe Girardi, to me, is a really good manager. I would have preferred him managing the New York Mets. And
no
I think
doubt.
If I'm a Knicks fan, no offense to Fizdale, who I like, and I think it's a good hire, I'd prefer Dwayne Casey. But you know, teams don't wait sometimes.
Yeah. You know, to me, it's not Dwayne Casey. To me, and I've said this all along, to me, they're big stars and not A-level superstars. That's the problem.
Yep. Sure.
DeRozan and Lowry are B-level guys, and that, to me, is the big issue with Toronto. It has nothing to do with the head coach.
Yeah, Masai Ujiri, who also out there was a rumor for maybe a front office position with the Knicks at one point as well, makes this decision. And obviously, he feels as if this dynamic had run its course. I don't know if the DeRozan-Casey thing that happened in game three plays a role in this
as
well.
Right.
He was benched for the last 14 minutes of the game. I don't know. I'm not sure. But Dwayne Casey, I think, will get another job as a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get one more shot. He'll get a 3 or 4 year deal. It might be his retirement job, but he's going to get another opportunity as a head man.
Mm. Well, I mean, Minnesota hasn't hired anybody, and he actually used to coach the Timberwolves a long time ago. Wouldn't that be the not the Timberwolves? I'm sorry. I'm thinking of
the Bucks.
Milwaukee. I don't know. Yep. I get Minnesota and Milwaukee very confused sometimes. But the Bucks haven't hired anybody. They're still going through the interview process. They have such a good young roster. The Bucks would seem to be a pretty good job for both parties, no?
Oh, yeah. I could see that as a legitimate possibility. Detroit does not have a head coach right now.
Yeah, but they're a mess. You want that job?
They are a mess. Look, here's the thing with Dwayne right now. I'm not speaking for him, but you mentioned the age. I believe he's 61. If he's 60 going on 61, this is going to be the last go-around, and I do think he would like to make some money here.
I don't
believe he was one of the higher-paid coaches. This is a retirement job.
That's
whoever
fair.
The next one is. He financially wants to cash in on the success that he had over the course of 7 years with Toronto.
Mm. He should. He deserves it.
Do you see Becky Hammon getting a head coaching job?
I don't see her getting a job this go-around, but the fact that she's now being mentioned, the fact that she's being interviewed, this is how the process works in the NBA. It's rare where coaches just come out of left field. Normally, it takes some time, and it means GMs are sitting down with you, owners are pondering and considering. The fact that Becky Hammon has the San Antonio Spurs behind her will help a great deal in Popovich, but this was the biggest step. She needed to get into the interview process. So somewhere along the line, I think she could be a head coach in the NBA, yes.
That's going to be groundbreaking. It really is.
And
we were talking about this a few days ago that, you know, because Milwaukee's one of those teams that's been interested, that to me, getting that star player to buy in and be on her side is going to be a key because – Let's not beat around the bush here. I mean, this is historic. I mean, female head coach in the NBA, how are these young males going to respond to it? We don't know. Right now, she's an assistant under Greg Popovich, which is the greatest place, I would think, to learn and work. But I think there's going to be a lot of mystery to see how everything is handled and how it works out.
Yeah, I believe there's a feature in the Players Tribune today from Pau Gasol touting Becky Hammon and stating quite definitively that she will be a head coach in the NBA one day. Powell is considered one of the classiest guys in the league. I don't think he's a guy that would be tough to coach for anybody. But to me, the timing shows you that there's a groundswell building. And while it might not be on this go around, it's going to happen. And she appears to be the candidate that will eventually get the nod.
All right. We're talking to the great Iron Eagle. I'm jumping back to the NFL here for a second. Is there any possibility, okay, and maybe you know where I'm going here. They lost a lot of guys, Nate Solder, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler. Maybe they're going to trade Gronkowski. Who knows what they're going to do? You know, it's them. Do you see any possibility of any slippage by, you know, the evil empire in Foxborough?
Yeah, I think that's the right word. Slippage. I don't believe the bottom can drop out on this franchise with Belichick and Brady there.
Right.
The pride level is too high. The professionalism is too high. They have a blueprint in place. They get players that buy in. Not forever. There's shelf lives with these guys, as we've learned, and even on the exit from some of the players, they say, hey, it was time. I needed to move on. We hear a little chirping from Danny Amendola. We've heard a little bit from Gronk about his contract. Solder, who has been very positive about his experience, but even he said, I think it was time. And he got a huge offer as the highest paid offensive lineman, so you can't blame him. But if you're asking me, could there be slippage? Yes, there could be slippage based on the fact I don't think their roster is quite as talented as it has been in previous years. But here's the problem. They find guys and they fit them in. Guys that we don't even know about.
No, of course. Today. I know.
We'll play at a high level. And
right,
the rest of
right.
the league will look around and say, wait, I'm going to talk to my personnel guy. How'd you fall asleep on this guy?
Right.
How'd you not find him?
Right.
Well,
right.
They find him. They have an amazing setup there. Their system is really maybe the best ever in NFL history.
Yeah.
Find talent and work them into their system.
It's incredible. Agree with that.
And I don't mean this.
You're right about that.
I don't mean this as a knock on the Patriots at all, because everything you just said is completely true about how they find this talent. But it's also tough to have too much slippage when your division is a dumpster fire.
Yeah, division is terrible.
No, that's true. That's a legitimate point. There has been no one that's grabbed the brass ring in the AFC East. And maybe in another division, we wouldn't have seen 13 wins,
right, right.
12 wins, 13. Maybe it would have been a 10-win season, an 11-win season, dare I say a 9-win season. But they've been unchallenged in their division for so long that it's hard to gauge against some of these other teams in the NFL. Now, with that said, they've proven it against teams from other divisions, too, because they still plow through the AFC once the playoffs start. Their consistency level is unheard of. But that's a fair point, Evan, the fact that they really haven't been tested within their own division. Look at how many games in their division
they play
every year.
It's painful.
And not to say it's a bye week, but it's a win. It's a win. It's another win. And then it's another win.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. Now, let me ask you before we let you go, because, you know, we love having you on, as you well know. Before we let you go, after you do Roland Garros, okay, after you do the French Open, are you doing Wimbledon, too? Are you doing that?
No. No,
I don't do Wimbledon. So will you be done now after that? You're done until the NFL season?
That's it. Until NFL preseason. That's it. You won't hear from me.
Okay.
I'll be gone.
Now, do you actually go on vacation? Because you work so much. I mean, do you actually, like, go on vacation? Do you see the family? I mean,
who's that now? Who are you alluding to? No, I just go away by myself to Bali.
To Bali.
I just walk the streets.
I understand. Well, you deserve the time off that you get.
So you're basically off for like 2 months. You're going to be like 2 months off.
It's like 6 weeks, as it turns out. About 6 weeks.
You're like a school teacher. You got 6 weeks off and
then
you work all the time. Yeah.
Very, very so. That's how I see myself.
Absolutely.
That's a fine profession, by the way.
My sister,
my brother-in-law, both school teachers, principals, board of ed.
Here's the bottom line. School teachers are incredibly underpaid. They're so important to our society.
They make no money.
I know.
And think how important they are. The one positive is they retired early, moved to Florida, and I think make more now than they did when they actually were working.
By the way, how is your son doing? Because he's an aspire. He's going to be like the next, you know, he's going to like take over for you. It's going to almost be like Jack Buck and Joe Buck with you. With you and your son. No, I mean, that's what it's going to be. Because, we had him here for a couple of days. He's very polished. He looks – you can never know he's your son. I mean, he looks just like you. And he's got all the smoothness that you have and all of that. So, I mean, how's he doing and how soon do we see him doing games?
Well, hopefully he can come visit you this summer if you'll have him.
Of course. Bring him in.
By the show.
Bring him in.
Yeah, he's wrapping up junior year. He's still up there because Syracuse made the NCAA lacrosse tournament.
Okay.
They're playing Cornell this weekend.
Right.
And he'll be up there for another week or two and then make his way back home and get ready for senior year and call a bunch of games. He's going to get to call football and basketball and a little more lacrosse. So I think he's really pumped for senior year and whatever lies ahead beyond that.
Well, it was very cool when you both guys called the same game and it was on TV.
Oh, was that right? They both called the Syracuse game?
The Syracuse game. Who were they playing?
What, in the tournament? Miami. In the tournament was?
No, it was February.
Oh, okay.
Regular season game.
Yeah,
okay.
Really good
stuff. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was surreal. Very, very strange to have him just down press row looking over there. And he like basically wore the same outfit as me.
Did he?
Thought that was weird. Yeah.
You know what he is? He's a better looking version of you.
Well, he's a younger version.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Younger. He's younger.
He's a much more attractive version of
you. Yes. Younger and more attractive. Absolutely.
Right. There you go.
Let's say it again. Say it a third time.
Younger and more attractive.
He's taller, younger, and more attractive. He's in better physical shape than me. Yeah.
He's 21 years old or whatever he is.
21.
Right? How old is he? Come on.
All right, Dome's going to kill us if we don't break. We appreciate
pain,
you coming on,
in the pain. Hey, enjoy your France, all right?
Thank you, man.
Love you guys.
Say hello to Macron for us, all right?
They're very close. You know that?
I'll make a point.
Dome says hello.
Thanks, Ian.
See you, Ian.
The great Ian Eagle.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.